This morning I'm going to talk to you about good gifts. This is a part of a series that we've entitled A Christ Life. We're studying Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus' words. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was giving practical, daily, faith-filled instruction to his disciples. These young men were getting ready to go out into the world. Did they understand that yet? No, not a chance. But what Jesus understood better than them is that these men were going to go out and share the gospel with all of the known world. They were going to be the ones that God was going to use as vessels, as messengers to go out. And so Jesus is preparing them to live on their own, not just how to have a checking account or how to take care of their business socially or how to do other things, but spiritually, how their hearts needed to be right before the Father. All throughout this message, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we see that Jesus is clearly teaching his young men that their hearts need to be right before the Lord. Because if their heart is right before the Lord, then the rest of them will follow. Living a life for God, Jesus is trying to help them understand, is not about following a set of rules. But if our heart is right, then we desire to follow God and his word. You and I are going to make mistakes. We're going to commit sin. If our heart is right, then we know how to deal with that. If our heart is not right before the Lord, then we don't know how to deal with that. Then we only go to him when we're desperate. We only go to him when things are not going well in our economy because of we've tried everything else, so now let's try God. Where if our heart is right, God is first, and then he can help us through the challenges of life. In this series, we have learned together, and we'll see it again today, that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then God is your source. Christ is your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is your strength. Again, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then God is your source, Christ is your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is your strength. Join me in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, again, Jesus' words to his disciples, "Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him?" Okay, simple words. The good news is you and I get to ask God for whatever we want. So when you ask God for your new car, when you walk outside today, it's going to be sitting where your car was parked. I mean, that's what he said. That's not what he said. Let's look at it. He is telling us again about a right relationship with God. When our heart is right before the Lord, then we're in right communication with the Father. There is no relationship here or there, this side of eternity or in eternity, that doesn't need good communication. You can't have a good marriage and not have good communication. You can't have good relationships at work without good communication. You can't have good friendships without good communication. It's required. And we all know that good communication doesn't mean I'm telling the person, in this case God, what to do, and he does what I want him to. That's a genie in a lamp or a bottle in some way. That's not who God is. But a good relationship requires us to be in good communication where we can talk. Yes, we can ask God for things. He says it right here. Jesus said it. But we also need to learn to listen to him. Just as good communication in our relationships with our spouse or our kids or people at work or other people that we're involved with, we also need to learn to listen. If somebody won't listen to you, you're not going to hang around very long. You get frustrated with that. You walk away from that situation. You want other people to listen to you. So this is more about our relationship than it is about me getting what I want that I think will somehow benefit me. He's also reminding them here that daily talking with the Lord and asking for help is good. How many of us wait? I'm afraid to ask this question, but think about it. You don't have to answer out loud. But how many of us only ask God for things that in our mind are big, but little things we don't bother God with because we think he's too busy, so we can only ask him for big things? Or some of us say, well, there's just some big things that there's no way God's going to take care of world hunger, so I'm not going to bother him with that. But I'll ask him for a parking space up front at the grocery store because, well, that's little. Surely he can take care of that. But think about this. We're praying to the God of the universe who put the stars and the planets in their orbit in the right spot. He's the one who did that. You didn't do that. God did that. Hear that thunder outside? You didn't do that. You can't even make it thunder and you can't make it rain. God did that. But the Bible also says that he counts the number of hairs on your head. That's how much he cares. So the God of the universe, who cares about where the planets and the stars are in the universe, he also cares about the little things like the number of hairs on your head. In comparison to where the planets are, the number of hairs on your head don't matter as much, but God cares about all of it. So he cares about the big and little things that are in your life. And he wants us to communicate. Look with me again at verse 7. He says, ask and it shall be given. The word ask here, hear this, the word ask here means to urgently request, almost demand. In other words, I'm coming to God by faith with confidence as I come to God and ask him for something. Can I ask him for a new car in place of my truck that's outside? I can. But don't come half-stepping. Ask him confidently. But trust him in right relationship if my heart is right with him and he doesn't believe that a new car is going to benefit me in some way and his eternal plan for me, then there's not going to be a new car out there. But that's part of the relationship. Does it mean he can't put a car? If he can put the planets, he can put a new car out there if he wants to. But he's asking me to be in conversation with him. But come to him with faith. Don't come, well, God, I know you're really busy and you don't really have time for me and I know you're not going to answer it anyway. That's like when your kids come to you and do that. You really want to help them, don't you? No. You want them to come confidently and ask. You may say no, but you want to know that what they're asking for with confidence. And he says it will be given. That means you'll receive something of value. If my heart is right before the Lord, then I trust him to take care of the things that matter to me the most when I ask him for something. If my heart is right before the Lord, then I trust him as the creator of the universe who sees everything for all eternity about my life to know what's best for me. If he's my heavenly father and I say he's a good, good father, then I know he's going to take care of the things that are most important in my life. And I need to thank him for that, not just always ask. The next thing he says in verse 7 is seek. Seek and you will find. Seek means to learn the location of something. Sometimes you have to move around to do that. And if you find it, the word find here literally means you may find it because you're seeking. You may also find it by accident. You just happen upon it. Some of you men that are married can identify with this. There are occasions when I lose things in my house. Never my keys, never my wallet, because they go in the same place every single time. But sometimes I'll go in my closet and look for that blue shirt. And I look, and I look, and it's not there. And I go ask Kisa, my wife, where that blue shirt is. She says, what? It's in my closet. No, it's not. Yes, it is. It's by the other blue shirts. No, it's not in there. I looked. Come help me find it. Where does she go? Into the closet, right there by the blue shirts. Here's your blue shirt. Now, I was seeking it, but I didn't find it. I had to seek by another means, and she found it. I think she sneaks it in there somehow when I'm not in there. I don't know how that works, but somehow that works. There's other stuff like that, too. Sometimes you and I find things when we didn't necessarily seek it, but we were looking for it, or somebody else finds it, okay? God says if you seek, you will find. If you don't seek, the other is true. Then he says knock. The word knock means literally what you think it is. It's a signal on a door to those who are inside that you are outside and would like to come in, or at least like them to acknowledge your presence. And to open means that the people who are inside choose of their own free will to open and at least acknowledge your presence. Whether they invite you in or not is up to them. But if you don't knock, they may not know you're on the other side. Now, Jesus didn't have ring doorbell cameras and all that kind of stuff. You had to knock on the door. So what he's talking about here is if you are in communication with the Father, it's supposed to be something that is consistent. All of these verbs in verse 7 are present tense verbs. That means that they are continuing on. I know this is an English class, but it helped me understand these are things that continue. It's not ask him once and then never ask him again. It's not seek after him but never seek again. It's not knock once and never knock again. He wants us in constant communication with him. If our heart is right before him, then we want to be in a good relationship with the Father. Again, like I said earlier, when we are putting him first, then we don't have to run to him when we're at the bottom. We started with him at the top. We don't have to wait until we hit rock bottom trying all of our different things and making a mess out of our lives and then come to him. Can we call out to him then? Yes. But it's a whole lot easier when you and I ask for his help and seek after him and knock and communicate with him beforehand. Look at what he says in verse 8. He says exactly what he said in verse 7. Must be a typo. Not a chance. When the Bible repeats something, we need to pay attention to it. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. If you're not asking, then don't count on receiving. If you're not seeking, don't count on finding. If you're not knocking, don't count on it being opened. Well, God already knows what I need. He does. But remember, Jesus died on a cross for your sins, yes. But in a bigger picture, he died to give you and I the opportunity to be restored to a right relationship with him. If we stop with the fact that he died for our sins, then we miss the greater part of that. He removed our sin for those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to be in right relationship with the Father. Right relationship is just the beginning. Believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is just the beginning. Then that relationship, we want it to grow. We don't want to just ask him to be our Lord and Savior and never have communication with him again. Jesus died so that you and I can have an opportunity to be restored to a fire insurance policy from hell? No. He died so that you and I can have the opportunity to have a right relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He says it again in verse 8. Verse 9, he gives them some very practical examples. Look at what he says in verse 9. He says, "Oh, what man is there among you, or father, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone?" Okay, he's talking about a father helping a son who is hungry. And his question is, what father would deceive his son by giving him a stone instead of bread? We're not talking about a loaf of bread like you and I go home and get Mrs. Baird's a whole loaf of bread. We're talking about a small round loaf, just a little bit of bread, kind of like a biscuit. That would be something that would have been very common in Jesus' day. We see it with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Those were probably more like biscuits, not a big loaf of bread. So something that looks like a stone and looks like bread to a young child who may not know the difference, dad gives you a stone and they bite into it not knowing the difference, that would be ridiculous. Dad is not helping that child, he's deceiving that child. And the answer here is that's obvious. No, a good father isn't going to do that to his son who needs nourishment. He's going to give him bread to eat, not a rock. Look at what he says in verse 10, something very similar. "Or if he shall ask for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he?" The idea again is maybe an eel-like fish, that he would give him a snake that could potentially harm him in some way. Would a father deceive his son instead of giving him something that's good for him to eat, a fish, instead give him a snake that could end up hurting him? Both of these questions are obvious. They're a negative answer, but again, it's about the relationship. The father is supposed to take care of his son, not take advantage of the situation. It's not saying he's trying to joke with his son here. His son is asking legitimately for dad to help him be fed. A good father is going to help him. Just like we did in the Lord's Prayer a few minutes ago, the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. We looked at it in Matthew 6, 9 through 13 a couple of weeks ago. It's not about the words being said. There's not anything magic or special about the wording. It's about being in relationship and having a conversation with God. And that's made possible because of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Look with me at verse 11. He wraps up this section. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him?" If you then, being a sinner, know how to give good gifts to your children, I mean, that's a clear statement. How much more shall your Father, your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? If you and I are sinners and we know how to take care of our children, how much more does the God of the universe give good gifts to those who ask, who seek, who knock? Jesus is giving them the obvious answer. God only gives good gifts. He doesn't cause us to sin. The Bible is clear about that. Jesus was tempted in every way that you and I are, the Bible says, yet he was without sin. The Bible also teaches us that the devil is the one who tempts us. God allows trials in our life. Those are different than temptations. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "With each temptation the devil throws at you, God, who is faithful, will always provide a way of escape. You and I just have to take the way of escape." God will never lead us to sin through his gifts, the things that he gives us. Look with me at one last verse. James chapter 1, verse 17 talks about the same idea of God giving good gifts. James 1, verse 17 says, "Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." God only gives good gifts, nothing sinful, nothing evil. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above. It comes from God. It doesn't come from you. Even though you may give somebody a gift, God is the one who provided it for you. Talking about good gifts. It also says he is the Father of lights, within whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He's not one spot of light. He is light. So there are no shadows around him. He's full of light, top, bottom, sideways, every angle that you could possibly get, because God is full of light. Again, this is about the relationship that God wants as our Heavenly Father with each of us. When our kids were younger, we moved into Valley Lodge subdivision here in Simonton. And a lot of the kids in the neighborhood had motorized vehicles. They had golf carts or four-wheelers or all kinds of other things. We didn't have any of that, and my boys wanted something like that so they could keep up with their friends instead of always riding with them. And so the boys had asked for something. I didn't know what in the world I was going to do, because I wanted to keep them safe and teach responsibility, all those kind of things. So about a year after we moved in, I was in a store one day and I saw it. It was a go-kart. But the best part of the go-kart was in the seat, where both seats were big, huge helmets. The motocross helmets that had the full face mask, they were three times as big as their heads. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to buy this. Keisha and I, my wife and I, are going to give it to the boys and bless them. But we're going to have one rule. If I ever see you in the go-kart without the helmet on, the go-kart goes away." I never saw them, nor did anybody else, ever in that go-kart riding it around without their helmets on. They were so excited to be able to ride around the neighborhood with their friends. Now, they had to observe the rules. If somebody called me and said, "Hey, your boys are tearing stuff up in their go-kart, go-kart going away." They had to show responsibility on the road. They had to follow the laws. They had to be careful what they were doing. And they did. They rode that thing until they were too big to fit in it anymore. I, as a father, and Kisa, as a mother, were able to bless our boys with something that they had wanted and asked for. Was it something that benefited them, like a loaf of bread? No. Was it something that was going to make them better in some ways, because they had to be responsible for it? They had to learn to change the oil. They had to learn to fix it when something was wrong, or tighten something when it was loose. They had to learn to share it with each other. They had to be able to show responsibility and make sure it gets home every time, even if your friends aren't coming home. You got to make sure you take care of those things. Was it essential to their upbringing? No. But I was able to bless them with that, and they used it for good. It provided great enjoyment for them and thus for us as their parents. It was in right relationship. Had they messed up the relationship, the go-kart could have and would have gone away, but they took care of it. God is like that. He wants to be in right relationship with us, but he wants our heart. He doesn't just want us coming and asking for stuff. He wants us to be in right relationship and ask and seek and knock and make it about him and not about us. Because if he answers it different than what you want, then you can be assured when you finally step back away from the situation and see what God has done, that every time he answers a prayer, it's for your good, not for your bad. He sees all of eternity, and he knows the eternal plan for your life. And if you are walking with him in right relationship, because our heart belongs to him, then he takes care of the things that are most important, just like a father, just like a mother does to their children when they're taking care of them. Will the child always understand what is good for them? Nope. But the Heavenly Father always knows what's best for his children in right relationship with him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today that you tell us to ask, seek, and knock. You don't tell us to be quiet and hope something happens, but you're a God who gives us access to you 24/7, 365. Thank you that because of the blood of Jesus, we can come to you about anything and everything, and you ask us to do that. Forgive us for grading our requests. Forgive us for not coming to you about everything. And forgive us for coming and telling you what to do instead of asking you and trusting you and believing you and knowing that when you give us things and you answer our prayers, it's for our best. Help us to desire to be in right relationship with you through our heart first. Because your word is very clear that when our heart is following you, the rest of us will follow you. So, Father, take our whole heart. Use it for your purposes and help us to be in right relationship with you this week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.